The good news is that you don't need to sit down and read the Bible from cover to cover in one massive chunk. All you need to do is read it one bit at a time. G'day everyone, my name is Mark Schroeder and welcome to Schroeder's Bible Bits. I'm a college chaplain and my job is to teach children and youth the wonderful truths that are found in God's Word, the Bible. I speak at chapels, at youth services, at church services, I teach at kids clubs and lunchtime Bible groups. At all of these places, I always teach from the Bible because I'm convinced that from the Bible, we get to learn about God and how He has loved us and how He has saved us through Jesus. Tune in and continue to learn about Jesus for yourself, not in one chunk, but bit by bit. G'day everyone, welcome to another Schroeder's Bible Bit. This is the first of a series based on the things of the future that we believe as Christians. We're going to be thinking about our future hope, about Jesus' return, and what's going to happen when He returns, that He will redeem and resurrect and judge, but also our hope is in the wonder of the new creation. Make sure you get all four of these talks, and they're all here on Schroeder's Bible Bits. I hope you enjoy. All right, take a seat, everybody. So welcome to our PD week, as Kath has already said. And every morning, we're going to be getting stuck into God's Word together. It's great to gather together around God's Word and to listen to what He's got to say to us. And so I've just handed out, I think everyone's got one by the looks of it, a little handout. And that pretty much follows my Bible talk for today. And if you want to take notes, then you can do that. Or if you just want to draw on it or make paper airplanes and throw them down the hall later on for a STEM activity, then you can do that. But let's pray as we come to God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can spend this time together as Your people gathered around Your Word. Please help us to listen carefully. Please help us to read it intently. Please help us to apply it diligently to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I hated exams as a kid, as a university student, as a Bible college student. I hated exams. And so pretty much before every serious exam that I ever sat, I would sit at my desk after laying out your pencils and your pen, sort of like Mr. Bean. You know that episode of Mr. Bean where he lines out all his pencils and pens? If you don't, I don't know, you're missing out. I would sit at my desk and I would bow my head and I would utter a silent prayer that went something like this. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for the learning and the opportunity to discover new things about Your world. But Lord, You know how much I hate exams. So if You could come back now, that'd be great. If not today, please help me to do my best and remember what I need to remember. Amen. See, our hope as Christians is that Jesus is coming back, isn't it? And that's going to be our focus this week. So as we study God's Word together and as we move through this devotional series, we're going to be thinking about our hope as Christians. The hope that we have is that Jesus is coming back. And this series is going to sit at the end of our three-year back to basics themes. Yes, when I say back to basics, I mean BAC to basics. How do we say back without saying BAC? So our back to basics themes that we've been doing in our PD week. So if you remember back to 2020, we started with the theme of Genesis and we looked at Genesis 1 to 3. And we uncovered those four major Bible themes of creation, sin, redemption and recreation. In 2021, we focused on the cross. And we consider that phrase that we utter all the time, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And so we dug into that phrase to be reminded about what we actually mean by that phrase. And so together we studied those concepts of the Passover, of redemption, of atonement, of justification, and of reconciliation. If you want to go back and listen to those, if you weren't here for those, or if that was just part of the COVID blur, then you can actually still access those Bible talks. They're all on Schroeder's Bible Bits or via that webpage that we've got on SharePoint as well with all the Bible resources and stuff as well. So in light of what we've done, I think it's appropriate that we sort of land this back to basics theme by focusing on our eschatology. This is the fancy Bible word that simply means the study of the last things. Eschatos is the Greek word that means last, and ology means the subject of study. So we're thinking about the last things, the study of the last. And so it's really important that we study this concept, I think. I think we need to think about it because, first of all, this is a phew moment. You know what I mean by phew? Like that phew. You wipe your brow and you go, phew, gee, I'm glad that this is here. This is the sort of moment that ought to get us up and going in the morning. Because, in other words, as we read God's word and we discover these last things, we ought to find ourselves both thankful and motivated. Phew, and let's go, right? What I mean by this is that this truth about the last things that we believe that Jesus is coming back helps us to say things like, thank goodness that this is not it. How frustrating it would be if this was it, if all we did was live somewhere around 80 years or so and then our days came to an end, came to nothing. But thank goodness this is not it. The Bible says that there is more. God gives us a hopeful picture of the future, doesn't he? And quite frankly, this is wonderful because the world can be a pretty dark and cold place. But also I think that this sort of concept, this part of the Bible, we need to study it because it's exciting to know that there is another bit to come. I'm sort of like the knowledge that another season of your favorite TV season is going to continue. Like, I'm not talking about Grey's Anatomy, which has been going for 15 seasons too long. That should have stopped ages ago. But things like, I don't know, if you're into Stranger Things, it's been great to sort of bring that to a resolution. Or other shows on TV where you see another season come along and you go, yes, I can't wait for that to come so that we can bring this to a close and so we can move on to what's next. This is good to look forward to. This is something to anticipate. But I also think that for us as educators or us as supporters of education, those of us who work in schools, our anticipation and excitement for the future things ought to motivate us to do excellent Christian education. Because simply, it's not enough to just teach students about the world and how to live here, because as Christians, we believe that there is more to come. What good is it just to teach kids about how to live in this world when this world is not it? And so we need to be teaching our students about the things coming in the future when Jesus returns, because to arrive at that moment unprepared is going to be foolish and troubling and a disaster. Lastly, thinking about eschatology is important because it's what we Christians actually believe. You can't be a Christian, you can't have Christianity without believing that Jesus is coming back. It is the actual conclusion to our story. It's the last pages, so to speak, of the book. Our hope as Christians is that Jesus is coming back. And so our creeds and our articles of faith, they state it. Things like this, when we say together at church, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Our churches also celebrate the coming back of Jesus, and we await it eagerly when we take communion. At least in our Anglican churches, we say things like, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. Or as we take the bread and we get ready to eat it at communion, the minister up the front might say, as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death to do this until he returns. And the congregation together says, do you know? Yeah, come Lord Jesus, come. This is what we celebrate. This is what we look forward to. So much so that we even gather together with Colin Buchanan and we sing these words, hooly dooly, whop bam boom, Jesus Christ is coming soon. He'll appear in might and power. No one knows the day or hour. It's sure to happen someday soon. Hooly dooly, whop bam boom. Good old Colin, what a great theologian. Eschatology, the study of the last things, sits within the theme, though, of the kingdom of God. So let's think about it a little bit as we get into this moment, as we think a little bit more about Jesus returning. So, first of all, it sits within the theme of the kingdom of God. In the Old Testament, we learn about God's rule over all things that he has made. We also learn about how humans rebel and resist him and how the nations riot against God. As the story continues, we also see how Israel gradually decline. Even so, even though there is this decline, we see that God makes a big promise that he will vindicate his rule and he will bring things back together, back into right order again. And this will come on the day of the Lord. Right? There's that phrase, the day of the Lord, which when we think of the day of the Lord, we think about that day that Jesus is going to return. But the day of the Lord was also a day that God's people Israel look forward to. And so in the Old Testament, we learned about the Messiah. The Messiah who was going to come from David's line and who would bring both judgment and deliverance for Israel. But of course, the Old Testament doesn't sit alone in God's word, does it? We also have the New Testament. And so, of course, in the New Testament, those promises that God has made are fully realized in the person of Jesus. When Jesus comes, when God becomes man, when Jesus comes and shows and gives many convincing proof that he is the Messiah, the one who has come in the line of David to bring in the kingdom just as God promised. And so with Jesus, salvation comes. But the wonderful news of the gospel of this salvation that comes from God is that salvation doesn't just come for the decline of Israel, does it? Salvation comes for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, you and me. Through Jesus and his death, through Jesus and his resurrection, we now believe that we now live in the new promises of God, namely that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Sin has been defeated. Death has been conquered. And now eternal life is on offer. And so today, we live in this in-between moment. We have a life with God today through the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen King, the Messiah, but we also don't quite yet have it, right? And so we look forward to the day of the Lord when it does fully come, the day when Jesus returns just as he promised. So let's look at that moment in the Bible in Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. It's on your sheet there, but if you want to follow along in your own Bible, by all means, go ahead. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, this is Luke writing, right? So Luke, who writes the Gospel of Luke, he's a doctor, he writes Luke and he writes to his young friend Theophilus. He writes Acts now to his young friend Theophilus again about the ministry that Jesus continues to do. So he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." There are literally hundreds of passages that talk about the return of Jesus. I've listed just a few for you there on your sheet that you can look at later for your own homework. But these references, and the reason I tell you that there are hundreds of passages that talk about the return of Jesus, are here because they clearly show us that return of Jesus is taught in the main strands of the New Testament. And so this helps us to make clear that, or to get clear that the second coming of Christ is not confined to a few weird passages tucked away in the back corner of the Bible, nor does belief in it depend on highly imaginative interpretations of symbolic visions. It lies right there on the surface of God's word for everyone to see. And this is something, therefore, that we really believe because it is something which is everywhere in the Bible. And so to take Acts chapter 1 passage that we've just started with, we discover that just as the risen Jesus publicly and obviously rose up into the clouds into heaven, so we learn that he will come back. He will return in the same way. The angel said in Acts chapter 1 that in the same way that the disciples saw him leave, so he will come back. Bodily, physically, publicly. When I think about Jesus ascending up into heaven, I remember a time when I convinced my little brother to let his helium-filled balloon go. I said, it's going to be great. We'll just watch it and it'll disappear. And for some reason, he believed me it was going to be great. And we let it go and we watched it float away, and then he sort of wanted it back and the tears flew and I got in trouble. But still, we watched that balloon disappear up into the sky. And if you had that moment before and you just stand there watching it and you see it go up, 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 and then you sort of lose it for a second, but then you keep looking for it, and then you see it again. You say, oh, I see it again, I see it again. And then phew, it's gone. You don't see it anymore. I love that thought because that's the same sort of imagery that I've got here from Acts chapter 1. That Jesus publicly ascends up into heaven. Publicly, visibly, in the real body. He didn't turn into a ghost and then just poof, vanish. He actually ascended alive and into heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd love to know more about what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. I want more details about what's it going to be looking like when Jesus comes back. But actually, as much as we'd like to know more about that, as much as we'd like more details, it's impossible to give a full description of Jesus' return. But from what the Bible says, we can see that it's going to be incredible and it's going to be visible. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24 that he will come like a flash of lightning. Have you had that moment where you've been in a thunderstorm and you hear it go boom and you think, is Jesus coming now? Is that it? That's what Jesus said it's going to be like, at least. It also says in Matthew 24 that when Jesus comes back, he's going to come back in power and great glory. It's going to be incredible. And Revelation chapter 1 verse 7 says that every eye will see him. There's not going to be just some random dude living in a tree in Queensland who's going to say that Jesus came back. No, he's going to come back and everyone's going to see him. Also, his coming is going to be loud. It's going to be decisive. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be unexpected. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Bible says that with a loud command and with a trumpet call, Jesus will return. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, it says that when Jesus comes, it's going to be decisive because the end will come. History will stop. Time will cease. Additionally, while we know Jesus is coming, it's also still going to be surprising. Matthew 24 says that it will be like in the days of the flood. People were eating and drinking, going on about their business, and then poof, the waters came and the floods rose. So it's going to be with Jesus. It's going to be surprising. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, we know this one where we hear about Jesus coming back like a thief in the night. We don't know all the details, do we? But we do get an idea about Jesus' return. And without a doubt, I think we can say that Jesus is coming back. But I love Hebrews 9:28 the most, because it says that when Jesus returns, he is going to return to bring salvation. Bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And so after looking at these things, we can't deny that the Bible teaches that he's coming back. But we also can't miss the application for his return, right? We must wait for Jesus' return. Because if we wait, we will be ready for the salvation that he will bring. And so what do we do as we wait? Titus 2 says that we wait, and as we wait, we say no to ungodliness. Philippians 3 says that while we wait, we remember that our citizenship is not here, but it's heaven. Mark 13 says that while we wait, we need to be on guard. We need to be alert. We need to be awake. We need to be anticipating the Master's return. In our world, there is so much uncertainty. There is so much to be unsure about. But as Christians, don't we have a wonderful assurance? Jesus is going to return, and for this, I am thankful. Salvation is coming. It's coming for me, and it's coming for you. if you're waiting and trusting and hoping in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, Jesus' return could be any minute now. Sometimes I say this to kids in biblical studies, and I start to click my fingers just like this. Jesus could come back any minute. Minutes are made of seconds. It could be in the next 5 seconds that Jesus comes back. 2, 1. How cool if Jesus came back. But how terrifying if you're not ready. Jesus could return any minute. And so if that's the case, no, because that's the case, are you motivated to help people to be ready? To help family and friends, to help each other, to help students and other families, to be busy while we wait, to be working hard here at our school, to be conducting ourselves worthy of the gospel for which we wait, to be fully revealed, and striving together for the faith in the one gospel. Staff Broughton, Jesus is coming back, and so we wait. And I suppose the question that you need to consider for yourself is, will you wait well and will you join me at Broughton in helping others to wait too? Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the wonderful hope that we have in the risen Lord Jesus, that because of him, we have the hope and the promise and the assurance of eternal life. We look forward to the day that Jesus returns, but Lord, we pray that you would help us to be ready. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mark. And also to our musicians for this morning. What a great way to start our PD week.
Thanks for listening, everyone. You can get in contact with me via Twitter at MRKSchroeder. Or on the Anchor app, you can actually leave a voice message. I'd love you to do that, and I might include it in the next podcast. Catch you later.